This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu and you're listening to Raise Your Game. Jack Welch, the former chairman and CEO of General Electric for 20 years, a living legend in the corporate world. During his tenure at GE, the company's value rose 4,000%. Susie Welch, the former editor-in-chief of the Harvard Business Review, is an author, television commentator and business journalist. These business titans first collaborated in 2005 to write Winning, which went on to be a New York Times bestseller. Jack and Susie then spent a decade traveling the world, advising and consulting thousands of companies and entrepreneurs and management, addressing some of the biggest problems faced today by organizations of every size and industry. Based on these experiences, as well as their work at the Jack Welch Management Institute, which is aimed at rethinking the traditional MBA, their latest book, The Real Life MBA, is a guide to help galvanize performance, build dynamic teams, and create a career purpose and fulfillment. Thank you, Mr. Welch, for this time. Is the traditional MBA no longer enough? And by that same token, is an online MBA enough?
Well, look, the traditional MBA, if you've got the time, the money, and to go spend 2 years on a leafy campus, is certainly a valuable asset. What we do is, with our online MBA, which is now at 900 students and growing 40% every year, we try and take mid-career people. The average age of our student is 36 to 40. Mm-hmm. It's actually 38 years old. And so we're taking mid-career employees and giving them the tools that they can grow in their job. So it's a very good piece. And this book is a supplement to both. Mm. This book has a refresher of the last 7 years and a primer for the next 5 years, that to teach you things about how to grow in this tough economy and lots of other things.
All right.
So this is absolutely perfect for the non-business school graduate to get familiar with all the aspects of business, and it's very helpful to count in existing MBAs to get refreshed in some of the key points that have happened since they've got their degrees.
Right. You know, in your book, The Real Life MBA, what are some of the grittier topics you've ventured into that doesn't get talked about in other such similar books?
Well, we talk about getting whacked, both in your career and your company. And getting whacked means being hit by a sudden shock to the system, a recession like 2008, the global recession, or a career stop where you might be let go by your company, or a stall career where you may be sitting underneath a boss frustrated that you can't grow. And what we try and talk a lot about is how to grow a business, how to engage employees. Global growth is slow, and we need more time, and we need more speed. And this book gives a lot of tips on how to galvanize your team to grow your business. Growth is the elixir of life. And having growth brings all kinds of good things to everyone.
Right. You know, obviously growth is essential, but in tough times, as you said, it's hard to come by. What should or shouldn't we be doing?
Well, we talk about, in this book, we talk a lot about galvanizing the team, being sure that everyone knows exactly where you're going, why you're going there, what is the purpose of your mission, and how you're going to get there, the behaviors, and the consequences of people not being aligned with the mission. So we get very nitty-gritty about how leaders and how employees can get galvanized around a growth mission. We talk about not sprinkling resources on many initiatives, but making the bets and going all out on very few. Many companies spread the assets around so that they can cover themselves when, in fact, they've got to go big on the ones that they like. And we give a whole series of tips on how to grow your business.
Right. Is this the chief meaning officer?
Well, we say that every leader has to get deeply into the skin of their people. They must give them a absolute understanding of why they're there, what the purpose of their work is. Make it meaningful and become a chief meaning officer. Lay out the strategy for everyone. Be transparent. let everyone see why you're doing what you're doing. So there's no guessing. The team is all aligned. And the rewards that come from meeting the objectives. For example, many leaders come in and talk about, we need change. Most new leaders show up in a company and say, we need change. They might explain why the change, but they never say to the employees, what's in it for them? Why should they change? Why should they upset what they're doing now to get on this new mission?
What is this 20-70-10 ranking system a game changer for growth?
Well, look, if you're in... See, we believe that business is, in fact, a game, okay? And the team that fields the best players wins the game. Now, in sports, in soccer, for example, you know who the best scorers are. I'm sure that's true in cricket, too. In any number of games, you know who the best players are because the newspapers put it out every day, and they lay out the statistics for the game. In business, too often people don't know where they stand. We spoke to over a million people in the last 10 years as we travel the world giving talks. And the one thing that keeps coming up all the time when we ask this very simple question, do you know where you stand in your company? Do you know what your future's like? Do you know what your boss thinks of you? Do you know what your company thinks of you? We don't get 10% of the people in the room raising their hands to say that the company is transparent enough and honest enough with them about their future. So what the 20-70-10 does, it forces leaders to sit with their people and talk, tell them where they rank. Are they one of the top 20 best? Are they in the middle 70 trying to get to the top 20? Or are they just not doing it? Now, what is misconstrued or misunderstood is that the bottom 10 don't get fired instantly. They get coached. And if they can't improve, then they're asked to leave. And we make a very big point in the book about severance. When you let somebody go, it's your fault. It's always the manager's fault if they're surprised or if they let go, because you picked them. And therefore, your job is to take care of them and make sure that they transition to a better life somewhere else.
Jack Welch, the former CEO of General Electric and an icon in the corporate world. Coming up, Jack shares his thought on what makes a great leader. This is Razor Game, BFM 89.9.
Best for money. BFM 89.9.
Good morning, you're listening to Razor Game. I'm Frida Liu and I'm honored to be speaking with Jack Welch. Jack is a living legend in the corporate and business world, having spent 20 years as the CEO of General Electric. Now, in the current climate of immediacy and quick results, how do you keep your team motivated towards difficult long-term goals when there's sometimes no quick immediate gains? And how do you impart resolve, tenacity, and patience to a new generation of postmodern leaders that seek quick returns on investment?
Look, I think that what's very often misunderstood is that people don't face into the fact that the only reason you're there as a leader is to balance short and long. Anybody can give short-term quick results by squeezing the lemon. Anybody can say, come back in 10 years. 10 years from now, I'll let you know how I do. I'm dreaming now about my future. So you have to do is to allocate resources to eat, eat in the short term, and dream for the long term. And that is the job of a leader. A leader who does one and not the other is not a satisfactory leader.
If you could pick one thing, what would be the most daunting part about leadership?
Getting engagement from employees. Not enough leaders understand that the real organization that wins develops a whole culture of what we call leadership 2.0 for this century. And it's all about truth and trust. If every meeting you went to, you search for the truth, and you will only get the truth, no spin, no side conversations, the truth, you will only get it if you've built trust over a period of time with your team. They know you have their back. You know that when you take a risk, they'll support you. They know you care about them, their families, and their life. So that whole idea of building truth, an atmosphere of truth, and an environment of trust is exactly what great leaders do, and they build great companies.
A little bit of story about yourself, if you can look back at life and the failures in business, was there something that you know that you still remember and you wish you did something else?
I probably wished I did something else a million times. But how can I end up with these results, with this beautiful team we built, having come from very poor roots to where I am now, ever go back and second-guess myself? I did the best I could. I made mistakes, made many mistakes. But in the end, the result, the pie is very pretty.
And, you know, of course, your nickname in the 80s was Neutron Jack, right? Would that kind of leadership still be applicable nowadays?
Look, Neutron Jack was a figment of a reporter's imagination. It happened in the... What it refers to is the incredible amount of change and layoffs and business sales that we had in the first 24 months I was in the job. We took over a company when the Japanese were selling products in our cities in America, the less than we could make them. And we had to act fast and get our cost structure down. The question is, we had 410,000 employees, and we were doing $24 billion of business when I took over. When I left, we had 320,000 employees. That's 100,000 fewer employees, roughly. Right. And we were doing $130 billion of business. So with a third less employees, we did six times the amount of business. That, were we too fat? Coming off of World War II and having this enormous superstructure, or we just weren't competitive. So GE wouldn't have survived. Now, we were the first company to do all this, to get trimmed down. Like in the late 80s and the 90s, we had no layoffs, while major companies all over the world were having downsizing efforts to become competitive like we were. And that's why we became the most valuable corporation in the world and the most admired corporation in America.
Right. Back to the real MBA and the online MBA. We know that networking is important. How do you replicate the connection, or in Chinese, they'll say Guangxi, and the network advantage being in an Ivy League if you're not in one?
I didn't come from an Ivy League background at all. Mm-hmm. I came from a state school that cost $50 a semester. So I don't buy that it's a network today. Today, the best people win in a meritocracy. Right. And in the U.S. today, the Ivy League may be predominant on Wall Street, but it certainly is not overwhelming in corporate America. And if you look at the companies that are run today, they're run by all kinds of people, many of whom drop out of college, whether it be Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, or you pick them. So the whole adage of Ivy League and networking, today there's no place for that. It's a very tough meritocracy in a global environment.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Jack Welch, the legendary CEO. Head to any major bookstore if you'd like to get a copy of his latest book, The Real Life MBA. This has been Raise a Game on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.